You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
It's Friday, April 19th, and you are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast.
That is the voice of today's special guest, a man who spent 11 years with the New York Giants, 6 as the director of college scouting, 5 as vice president of player evaluation. How good was this man at those disciplines? Pretty good. Giants won 2 Super Bowls during his tenure. But this man is more than a player evaluator. He is a player. In fact, he was a wideout and return specialist so good his name is on the all-time team at Princeton. You heard right, Princeton. Empirically impressive. Of that, there can be no doubt. But don't think too highly of this man. He wasn't clever enough to talk his daughter out of going to Princeton. So those bills are his. Lucky for us, his time today is ours. Please welcome back to the pod, Mark Ross. What's up, bud?
I don't know how to take that introduction there, Drew. Feeling great about it, and then you just reminded me of paying those bills, which is
To whom much is given, much is expected. You're an incredibly wise and learned person, and man, your expertise is coming in handy perfectly today. I am your host, NFL Network senior writer Andrew Levy, and on today's show, our 350th show, I'm told. What, no music flourish? Not even a golf clap? Oh, very funny. Thanks, Coop. Back to the show. A show in which, to quote Hamilton, I want to be in the room where it happens, where draft decisions are being made right now in real time in advance of next week's actual NFL draft. I think those of us who really only pay attention or used to pay attention to round one like I did for 40 years, we limit ourselves to star ascension, to this kind of annual red carpet event for a few quarterbacks and a handful of other guys trying out for the role of face of the franchise. And while none of that is untrue, it's not the whole truth, or it's not even the most glaringly obviously important truth, which is that the NFL draft is about team building, about constructing an NFL roster. And that's where the Mark Rosses of the world do some of their best work. Mark, there are some fascinating examples in our NFL world right now of teams facing very different team building challenges. So many conversations being had right now in the kind of rooms you spent a considerable part of your life. Let's start at the top of the current draft order, if that's okay with you. Is it safe to say, Mark Ross, that the Bears are set at 1?
With who they're picking? Of course. Yes, I think Caleb Williams has been the foregone conclusion for a long time. And now, last week he's there with the owners and having dinner with current teammates and players and everything. So, yeah, I think Caleb is just really a transcendent star. And you pick holes in everybody. Look, and no one's a certain 100% guaranteed. The only person that, to me, was Andrew Luck that I've scouted that was like that. So, but, yeah, the Bears – with Caleb, it's the perfect convergence. And we know Chicago has been begging for a star at that position for so long. So is this finally going to pay off for them?
Okay, so for the Bears then, for GM Ryan Poles, the uncertainty for them is not about number one. That's Caleb Williams. It's about what to do with the number 9 overall pick. What does your gut tell you? What does your gut tell you to do at 9? Do you trade down for more equity on a team that could use it? Or if a top 3 wide receiver is available still, or maybe a top 2 O-lineman, do you grab the best available? What does your gut tell you, Mark?
So the Bears only have 4 picks. And if I'm Ryan Poles, they have a lot of holes. And those 4 picks, although they're high and they carry a lot of value, they're not going to get it done. So if he has a chance, if I'm running the Bears, I'm trying to get out of 9 and get as many picks as possible. And whether that's a bunch this year, whether that's a combination of some this year to next year, take whatever you can get because you have a lot of holes to fill and you need a lot of swings at the ball to make it work and make it happen. So I don't think the difference between, let's just say, the third receiver if he's there, or the second or third tackle, and the 10th receiver or the 10th tackle is that huge of a difference to say, you know what, we could get another second round pick and get an equal player of same value and same talent. Let's go here. Let's get out of here and get that. There's not that big of a difference between someone we can get at the bottom of the first or the mid second to where we're going to take right here at 9. So the draft's all about value and likes. And people say, I like that guy. Okay, well, how much do you like them? What's the value of the like? So for the Bears, it's let's get a bunch of guys in here that we really like at a certain range where there's not that huge of a difference between the top and the mid.
My own word choice in asking that question, Mark, is rattling in my head because I said, what is your gut? But I think that actually opens me up to another question that may be illuminating. How important is gut in this process when you're a talent evaluator, when you are a scout, when you are part of a front office team? And then how do you get consensus in an NFL war room or scouting session from so many guts involved? That sounds like potential chaos.
Well, it is, but it's designed chaos, and that's the way to do it. And my role basically with the Giants and even the Eagles was I sort of ran the meetings. I ran the draft meetings at draft day, ran the orchestra. Let's just say it's an orchestra. People have seen that.
You had the baton. Orchestra. You were the conductor.
I'm the conductor. And then you got to take what the cellist is doing and the harpist, and that you're hearing all the music come at you. And of course, some instruments are more important than others. When the GM and the head coach are there, their instruments carry a little weight. Their solos carry a little weight, especially with the higher picks. But you have these meetings and you run these meetings taking all this information, and then you set a grade on a player and you set a value and you talk through it. And okay, everyone is not going to be happy with the way we grade all these players. Everyone is not going to be happy with how we stack these players and value these players, but everyone has to be on board to say, okay, this is a New York Giants, the value. Once we draft them, wherever we put them, they're a New York Giant. It's no, well, I didn't like the guy, you know, or I did. Or, we should have took our guy. That's when you get into trouble with scouting staff. So you meet and meet and meet and meet. You can never have 100% or even 90%. And there's a lot of guys, there's some guys in the Bears building that might not even like Caleb Williams. Like, this guy's going to be a bust. I don't like him for whatever reason.
Interesting.
So just because they're taking him does not mean everyone in that building loves Caleb Williams. And I think the outside thinks, what? Why did the Bears do that? There's some area scout or quarterback coach saying, well, I don't know. So it's never 100%. You just try to get as much convergent validity as possible on these players so that everyone – the majority feels comfortable and to say, this is the right thing to do. Despite talking through all of this, this is the right decision to make for our organization.
So how do you get consensus in an NFL war room? The answer, you don't. One thing is certain. Most NFL teams are currently leaking just enough information or misinformation to satisfy their particular strategy. And Mark, we've heard a couple of leaks lately that maybe you can help translate what they actually mean. Let's turn to the Washington Commanders. New GM Adam Peters, keeper of the second overall pick, said that he doesn't see a scenario in which Washington would trade down. Mark Ross, what does this tell you? Does it tell you that the Commanders have their guy?
That you would think, but general manager of the Giants there, Jerry Reese, who, when I first started working with him, but you know, name on two Super Bowls, said, never say never. So with Adam Peters saying, well, there's no scenario. Well, okay. Now what if there's draft night comes and someone says, we'll give you a Mike Ditka deal for Ricky Williams and give you the whole draft. So you just don't know what is going to happen that night or even planning up to it. So leading up to the draft this next couple of weeks, you talk to teams that are potentially trading up. What are you going to offer? You're just getting packages. You're finding out what's going on so that come that time, you know, well, none of these offers are intriguing. But maybe draft night, someone just comes and gets desperate and says, we're going to blow you away with an offer. And then that might change his mind. But when you have, let's say, Chicago with Caleb and then now number two, and I think Jaden Daniels is very, very close to Caleb Williams. I think there's a much closer gap between Jaden and Caleb than there is from Jaden and whoever the third, whoever deems to be the third guy. So
yeah, whether that's Drake May, whether that's JJ McCarthy, whether that's Michael Penix, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, and if you think that guy can transform your organization, if Adam Peters thinks it's Jaden Daniels, then you have to take him. We have to look no further than what happened last year with the Texans, who at the time, Lovie Smith scored that touchdown and won that game, thinking, oh, my goodness, they screwed themselves out of the first pick. They got the second pick, and they got a guy who's maybe a top five quarterback already. When I was with the Eagles, we talk about 1999, there was a bunch of quarterbacks. Tim Couch went one. There was Achilles Smith, Cade McNown, Dante Culpepper. We took Donovan McNabb at number two. We could have traded out there, could have done a bunch of stuff, but we thought he was the guy. He transformed the organization. So if you have that guy and you think he can do it, you don't want to mess around.
Wow. Of the five names mentioned, you got the guy who did have transformative power. Incredible. What does the Marcus Mariota move tell us? You're a reader of NFL tea leaves. If I'm a Commanders fan, and I happen to be a Commanders fan, did it tell me anything about where Adam Peters and his guys are looking? Does it suggest to you, based on Mariota's numbers as a dual threat quarterback when he played his best, and when you look at the dual threat ability of Jaden Daniels versus the not quite proven dual threat ability of a guy like Drake May, does the Mariota move tell us anything? How important in team building is like for like, similar enough backup quarterback?
Yeah, of course, when you're running an offense, you want to have someone that sort of fits that. And with Kingsbury, that's a whole nother discussion we can have, whether he's the right guy or not, and the work he did, or with Kyler Murray, and if you thought that offense was proficient or not. But yeah, of course, you don't want to have a pocket passer in there if you're running an offense where you're doing a lot of movement and all of that. And in today's NFL, you have to have sort of those mobile guys who can make plays. And I don't think the Mariota signing really foretells that they're going to take Jaden Daniels. And if anyone's watched Mariota the last few years, and it's just, you can't get it done with him. So they got to have someone. I think the Sam Howell shipping him out of there tells you more than signing Mariota. Getting Sam Howell out of there is saying, we're going to take a quarterback. We need to have a quarterback. We're done with this experiment.
I appreciate the clarity there for sure. But you did say, as you were taught, never say never. So maybe saying that I don't see a scenario in which case we would trade down, if that is a sly act of subterfuge by Adam Peters to drive up the price of moving to number two, a team like the Vikings, a team like the Broncos, a team like the Raiders, or a team like your Giants at six might have an interest in moving to number two. That gets me to your Giants. Man, you did some great work with this team. This team is in a period of obvious transition. What do you think the Giants should do? And is it the same thing as what you think the Giants will do?
And again, it could be, there are a lot of varying opinions in the building about what that or where they should go. And you've got people there with different sort of timetables. You have a head coach there in Brian Daboll, who was king of the world there in New York his first year, going to the playoffs, working the magic with Daniel Jones, limiting the turnovers. And in New York, I've been there, you're king quick, and you're out the door quick. And now, 2 years later, this guy goes from coach of the year, like, what is this guy doing? He can't coach at all. But then you have a general manager, Joe Shane, who probably has a little bit more leeway to make things happen and say, okay, we'll give you some time. Neither one was there when they drafted Daniel Jones. So they're not invested in Daniel Jones, and they can present that to the owner and John Mayer, like, this is not our guy. We need to get our own guy, our own quarterback in here who I can work with, who I feel fits this, who I feel can take us to a different level. That's where you have to look at what they should do and what they can do. I think they know that they can't win with Daniel Jones. And the issue with him is the availability. You know, he's only played 60 of 83 games, but also the play on the field when he does play has been subpar, and a lot of turnovers, as we know. So the dual whammies of Daniel is the play on the field and the injuries. And I think when Daboll and Shane look at that, like, we have to try to get better here.
So it sounds like we actually do have, amongst these two guts, yours and mine, consensus that they should be going after a quarterback that they can say is our guy, is our choice, and that is very likely, however they do it, what they will do. I want to ask you about lies. I want to ask you about these kind of subtle and sometimes not so subtle leaks of information or misinformation, these acts of kind of like public subterfuge. How prevalent is phony baloney info leaks? Is it part of the strategy? Is it part of the plan? And do front offices lie to get what they want? Clutch my pearls. Is it true?
Yeah, I think definitely you try to throw people off the scent. All these visits now that you hear, oh, this guy's going here, this guy's going here, this guy. A lot of those visits are not, they don't care. They're just trying to throw it off. Really, you should look at teams and who they're not talking about. And that is not leaking to the public, not in their beat writers know, or our esteemed colleagues at the NFL Network, all the guys that they get information from. And of course they trust them, but they might be holding back for draft day where they're going to drop the real gem of, you know what, I've been holding on to this for 2 weeks and this is what they're going to do. I couldn't drop it early. This is what they're really going to do here. So that's, no team is going to want to leak it out and say, this is who we want to get jumped. You know, 1 year with the Giants, we really love Leonard Floyd. And, you know, the team traded up to over top of us to get Leonard and, you know, the Rams, I believe. And then the big right tackle that was from Michigan State, they traded up over to get him too, because we just lent into too much love of those guys. And it was kind of obvious that we liked them, and we got with those two, Drew. But yeah, you're trying to not tip your hand as much as possible. And a lot of what you hear out there is not actually who teams love.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy with our front office exec, Mark Ross, who is really pulling back the curtain, guys, for us to give us a peek into what really goes on in these war rooms, these so-called war rooms. But these scouting sessions and these planning sessions, as we sit here 6 days before round one of the draft, he's giving us some insight as to the kind of strategies that are being employed and the kind of debate that is going on in these rooms. He's also helping us translate some relative arguable BS that's coming out from some of these teams as we speed toward the draft. Let's move on down to number three on the current draft order. New England director of scouting Elliot Wolf said that the Patriots, the keepers of that third overall pick, are open for business at every round, which, Mark, seems straightforward enough. Are there lines to read between here? You're a formidable player at the poker table. Has Elliot Wolf tipped his hand? And if he has, what is he holding?
The same cards everyone else has. Look, this time of year, if you just piece through all the GMs that have come out and said they're open for business, you could probably go through every team and just footnote that, because that's what is out there now. And of course, during this week, as I mentioned, the GMs call other GMs, hey, we're looking to trade. And it almost becomes a running joke, you know, when you're sort of calling your colleague, I know, you're looking to trade up, we know. And you just kind of laugh with one another. But now, again, with the information that's out there and the fascination with this, it's great to put it out there, and it drives numbers, it drives eyeballs and clicks and views and everything. But it's really just standard operating procedure for what teams do. And then you plan in your building. And then when draft night, it's just like a practice week for a game. You plan, you practice, you have meetings, you go out to practice, you come back, you meeting, you game plan, you talk about it.
And you execute.
And then when the game hits, all right, you may see a blitz that you haven't game planned for. But you know what? We prepared enough to say, okay, this is how we're going to adjust on the fly. And that's what really happens during the draft as well. All of the months and months and months of plannings and meetings, but still, it's still unpredictable once you hit draft weekend.
I'm asking Mark Ross about the Patriots situation. Elliot Wolf, the director of scouting for New England, said that the Patriots are open for business at every round. For them, that would mean being open for business at the third pick. This is a roster considered by most, and yes, by far, to be the worst roster in the NFL last season. And I think it's safe to say, Mark, that they are not a quarterback away. Is it possible that if the Commanders don't take the quarterback that the Patriots scouts have identified as their guy, would you expect them to stay at three and take him at three?
I love that, not quarterback away. But what exercise did we just talk about? How one quarterback can completely transform your organization. There was absolutely nobody this time last year saying C.J. Stroud is going to transform the Texans, right? Nobody. Nobody was saying that. But now look where we are with the Texans. They might get into the Super Bowl. They're going to go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. Like, come on, let's go. They loaded up going to get Diggs and Danielle Hunter and all that just a year later. So one of these guys may be that transformative player. Which one is it? That's always the mystery. Which one of these guys is going to transform it? Is it Caleb? Maybe not. Is it Jaden? Maybe not. Is it Drake May? Possibly. Is it JJ? Maybe it's Penix down there. Maybe it's Nix. Maybe, who knows? You don't know which one. All of the work that you do and put into it, and you still don't know until they go out there and do it. So at three, sure, if they take the right guy who can have the CJ Stroud effect, who can have the Donovan McNabb effect that I felt in Philly, sure. You know, we were 3-13. 2 years later, you know, we're in the NFC Championship game. So yes, you can be one player away because that's so important. So for Elliott Wolf and that and Gerard Mayo and Kraft, if they think one of those guys is that guy, then sit there at three and take them. If they don't, then get out of there and try to build as much of a foundation as possible.
Andrew Levy with former NFL front office executive Mark Ross. And after the break, I have strategy questions, school of thought queries, like, do you build around your choice at quarterback, or do you build a team first, then choose a quarterback? Mark Ross will also take us back to the 1998 draft, his first in the NFL, a draft you may remember, listener, that was defined by a dilemma. Which quarterback to draft, Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf? And yes, in hindsight, it's a classic boom or bust story. But in the moment, it was a genuinely perplexing decision for so many people. So I guess there's another question baked in there. How is it possible that we're so good at this and we're so bad at this too? Answers after the break on NFL Total Access, the podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy with former NFL front office exec Mark Ross, who was pulling back the curtain on the draft process as it is experienced inside NFL front offices and coaches' rooms. We will see this drama play out April 25th, 26th, and 27th. The 2024 NFL draft presented by Bud Light. 7 rounds over 3 days live from Detroit. NFL Network draft coverage is presented by Verizon. You can catch additional coverage of this tentpole event on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and of course, we're streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. So, Mark, here we sit, 6 days from the draft. Now, I asked you about the Bears at number one, but of course, when you have the number one pick, that is a bit of a special case. Let's talk about the other teams. 6 days from the draft, in your recollection and in your still rigorous muscle memory, how set is a team's draft strategy and how set is a team's draft board? And is the answer that it has to be set, or are there machinations and changes being made right up to the last minute?
So the strategy should be something that you have in place year in and year out, day in and day out, week in and week out, when your scouts come in and like, this is how we run our system. This is what we're looking for. This is who the coach is like, and you try to have that synergy between the scouting staff and the coaching staff and your strategy of these are the type of players we want to identify. This is the value we put on certain positions over the other positions. This is what will help us get better. So that strategy should be the same year in and year out. Now, your draft board, essentially the way we did it, you know, we first set our first draft board, our meetings right before the combine, where all our scouts would come in, we'd meet for a couple weeks and put those guys up there because that's really the true essence of this is how they really played on the field. Let's put them up there like that. And then you massage, we call it massaging the board. You don't want to take someone that you got in the fourth round before the combine and put them up in the first because they ran a fast 40. That's when you make mistakes. You massage it all throughout when getting all the information from the All-Star games, the combine, the meetings, the pro days, having them in your building, having your scouts go talk to them, take them out, having your coaches put them on the board. So then you start massaging the board throughout these meetings these last couple weeks. We used to try to lock it down the last couple days before, like, all right, nobody else in the draft room. The owner can come in here, the head coach after that. No one's in the draft room. So, you know, the scouts could be in there, but you always had the coaches looking, you know, looking at, hey, what about, you know, politicking for guys? Why is he down here? You know, even after you've been through meetings with them for hours and hours, they're still politicking a little bit. So, yes, you're always massaging it, but there's a certain point where, let's say, 2 or 3 days, like, this is it. We're lock it down. You have your final meeting with your owner, GM, head coach, and the director, and, okay, final strategies.
Final strategies. Let's talk final say. You said there's a lot of politicking going on. Okay, who has the executive hammer? Who has the final vote? Is it coach? Is it GM? Is it owner? Or does it actually change depending on what franchise we're talking about?
You nailed it. It depends on your organization. So when I first started in the league, that was when Ray Rhodes was the head coach of the Eagles, and it was all over the place. But let's use Andy Reid as an example. Andy Reid came in there. Andy had the final say, and everyone knew that. And that's okay. So whenever you hear 50%, there's never 50%. There has to be one person in that room that everyone looks to and say, yep.
Yeah, there's got to be a majority shareholder.
Despite all of this we're talking about, someone's got to take the hit for it. So Andy Reid, it was a head coach-centric decision-making process in Philly. When I got to New York, their GM, Jerry Reese, they traditionally, you talk about tradition and the strategy, they always were, the GM has the final say. And it's Tom Coughlin's going to the Hall of Fame, but he understood that process as well. He did an amazing job with me, with the scouts, with working with us. But Jerry Reese had the final say. But it's 51% or whatever the percent it is.
Right.
Some organizations wield a lot more power than others, depending on who is. And they don't listen to people. I know organizations where the head coach locks the scouts out of the draft room. They're not even in it. Or some where the GM doesn't have the coaching staff a part of it. So I've been a part of organizations where there was a lot of collaboration. I worked for the Bills, too. We had a lot going on there the 3 years I was with the Bills. But I've been with the Eagles and Giants mainly, a lot of collaboration between coaches and scouts. But we knew, okay, Andy, you got all of this? Andy got the decision. Giants, all of this? Okay, Jerry, you've got the decision. And both of them would always check with the owner, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, you good with this? Yep, good. John, Mara, you good with this? Yep, I'm good with this. So you always got to give
the politicking continues right to the last minute, right?
Oh, yeah.
You said the other day, I overheard you say, desperate times call for desperate measures. I mean, it's a standard phrase, but you were applying it to a team with regards to a draft decision that they had to make. And I don't even, Mark, remember what the team was. But I found the word interesting because you can sort of give us a sense for the feel in a room, the tenor of conversations. Are there desperate teams out there? Are conversations being had in certain places around the NFL map that amount to, boys, if we don't get this right, we're all out of a gig?
Well, yeah, of course. You talk about that. We're humans, and personnel people, coaches are humans. Let's just talk about Brian Daboll as an example. We talked about him earlier, so let's just go about him, where he knows if he has another bad year, it might be over for him, you know? And that's reality when you're saying, should we take this developmental project or, man, let me swing for the fences here and let me just go big and just try to hit big on this because I need my job and put a GM in that position. So you would love to have the stability where you're Brett Veach and Andy Reid, you can sit back and take whoever you want to take and you're good to go. You got Patrick Mahomes, hold it all together. And you know, you got stability. You don't have to worry about a thing. The Jets with Joe Douglas. This man's got to make it work because he's on borrowed time and he's got to make it work. So you think he's going to sit back? Oh, let's trade out of here, get picks for the future. Absolutely not. I'm going to go all in and get as much as I can right now to get another good year out of this so that I can keep my job or get an extension or whatever it is. So yes, every organization is in different mode and has different, they have different desperation levels or no desperation levels heading into every draft and every season.
NFL front office executive Mark Ross walking us through these sort of many myriad steps of pre-draft preparation. Here we sit 6 days from the draft, a draft that is really, when it boils down to it, one of the most important parts, but a single part of the team building process, which leads me to this question that's been plaguing a lot of people for a long, long time. And there is probably no right answer. But the question remains, what's the best methodology? What's the best plan of attack? Build around a young quarterback or build a team and then plug in the right quarterback? Is that an impossible question to answer?
It's pretty much an impossible scenario because it's so fluid of when, okay, let's sit back, the Patriots, let's sit back now and let's trade out of here and get a bunch of players and wait to, well, when is that quarterback going to come there? When are you going to get that one? And that all goes back to what I talked about, the desperation level. That'll take your owner saying, Elliott Wolf, Gerard Mayo, you've got 5 years to get this right. Do whatever you need to do. And in 5 years, you're good to go. How many owners are going to give their GMs that?
Not
that
too many.
To do that? Not too many, right?
5 years, what? Right? 5 years? You would have had the deepest exhale in the world if somebody said, Mark, we believe in you so much.
We're good.
5 years. There's minimum latitude. Go.
We're good. I'm from Philadelphia, and I don't know if you remember when they had the process going on here. That they had a GM, the process, and they just kept giving away tanking season. They got Embiid, Ben Simmons, all of that. Still no championship, but people were sick of the process here in Philadelphia. So that would never happen in football where you could just tank for years and years and years hoping. So the quarterback changes things. It's the most important position in sports. If you got a chance to get one and you think he's the one, you got to get that and then build your team around it. Everything else will fall in place once you have that foundation.
How enticing is a rookie quarterback contract? Cheap quarterbacks are a path to success, or at least so one school of thought suggests. That does seem to be a modern application of salary cap maneuvers. That, man, if you have a quarterback on a rookie contract, there's a hell of a team you can build around that young man. Do you buy that? How much do you guys talk about cap when you discuss draft prep?
Well, not a lot. You know, it's always about let's just get the best players. And you want to pay players. That means you hit on your players. That means you draft it well. So, yes, if the end result 4 years later is we got to shell out a bunch of money or lose the guy and we get some draft picks, then you've done your job. So, of course, money in the cap always comes into play. But you don't actively talk about let's not take this player because we think he's going to be outstanding and we're going to have to pay him $100 million in a few years. It's always, let's get the best players, the best talent. Let's win, and things will fall into place, take care of themselves. In, we got this whole cap department. You guys are geniuses for a reason and make this work when we get all these all pros.
There's a maxim in the NFL that you simply can't have enough good offensive linemen. Do you buy that?
Well, there's not enough. So, yes, everyone is searching for them. Everyone wants them. But what happens whenever you turn a game on every week? Man, this offensive line is bad. You know, how many teams can really sit there and say, yep, we've got a great offensive line? The better your quarterback is, you get absolved of your sins with that holy water if you got Patrick Mahomes, where, you know, he gets you out of a lot of stuff. Josh Allen, hey, that you miss a block. Okay, let me just avoid this guy. That's not a sack in the books. Where if you're a lesser quarterback, you give your O-line bust, but you're a sack, you know. So the better your quarterback is, the more he makes your O-line look good. Everyone, there's not enough bodies to go around. I know this year there's a ton of guys that are going to get taken in the first round, but everyone is searching for them. Everyone wants them. The Eagles are probably the standard bearer now of what they've done and the group that they've assembled, but that's rare.
Patrick Mahomes covering all manner of sins. Mark Ross, what's the most overdrafted position in the NFL? Is it obvious?
The most overdrafted, the highly.
I mean, I think the cynic would say, obviously, it's quarterback, right? But maybe that's not true. Is there a position group maybe that's not quarterback that you think draft scouts, front offices, and fans carry higher expectations than we should of that position?
Let's say that since the theme is desperation, quarterback is probably the most desperately drafted position, and then I'd say, I'm thinking, I would say corner, just because, look, you got to have those dudes up front. You got to have them dogs up front to go get the guy, to disrupt everything. And that's the way we won Super Bowls with the Giants. And I'll always stick with that those guys made it all happen. The dudes on the back end, of course you have to do your job. Of course you have to have adequate people. But the more havoc that they can wreck up front, then the better it makes everybody else on the back end.
What's the most overlooked position when you are preparing for a draft?
I mean, O-line. Yeah, we talked about O-line.
Fair enough.
But even still, like, you know, it's almost like just keep loading up on these dudes, you know, just forget some safeties and tight ends and just keep loading up on those guys and get as many of those big bodies in as possible.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Thank you for listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. I'm your host, NFL Network senior writer Andrew Levy. With me today on our 350th show, still no music? God, Coop, what does it take? We've got Mark Ross, former NFL executive Mark Ross. He's got a couple of Super Bowl rings to his name. My final question to you, Mark, thank you so much for your time today, is about farming. This is a quote that I shared with you earlier, but I really love this because it has me rethinking a lot of things in my life, not just NFL. There's a notion that when it comes to farming, a bad farmer grows weeds, which makes sense. A good farmer grows crops. That also makes sense. But a great farmer grows soil. And that kind of brings a little bit of a nuanced thought. And like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Foundational stuff. A great farmer really has a foundation on which good stuff will always grow or will usually grow. Let's apply that idea to the NFL. Mark Ross, who are the best farmers in the NFL?
So when you posed this question earlier, I was trying to prepare, and I just looked through each team, and there's a lot of hit or miss. There's not a lot of soil farmers there, and a lot of the others. But the two that I came up with, who I thought really just jumped out at me for different reasons. And the first one is the Ravens, because you talked about team building, and they just hit on players after players and Hall of Famers after Hall of Famers and great players. And okay, Flacco, let's take him from Delaware, and okay, go win us a Super Bowl. Okay, Flacco, your time's coming to an end. Let's get Lamar and get him in there and be the two-time MVP and just have unparalleled success of winning there. So they've really hit it as far as the team and the quarterbacks that they've done. And Ozzie Newsome should be the first person in NFL history to be in there as a player and as an executive, and now he's passed the torch to Eric DaCosta. Ozzie's still hanging around there as a consultant. So, but the Ravens have really just been that receiver position. They've kind of struck out on, except for Zay Flowers this year. They finally got a winner there. But every other position, they've really crushed it. And then I looked at and said, okay, what's been the theme besides desperation today, the desperation for quarterbacks? And what team has done it like no other as far as that? The Green Bay Packers, where they've gone from Hall of Famer in Favre, the Hall of Famer in Rodgers, and now a guy that looks like he could be in the Hall of Fame after just 1 year. No one jumped down my throat that Jordan Love's a Hall of Famer, but goodness. But just everyone sees the star turn that he had this year and so much potential that he has. So the Ravens as a team building, but you know, have hit the quarterbacks. The Packers as, we know how important the quarterback is. We don't care we got an all-pro Hall of Famer on the roster. Let's draft another one. We don't care we got this other guy here as well. Let's go draft another one. Trade up to go get another guy to take over for this guy. So they are so out in front of everybody else as far as this is what you have to do to keep sustained success.
Translation, get your overalls out, Ravens Nation, and you too, Packers Nation. Mark Ross says you may be the best farmers in the biz. I want to thank today's special guest, Mark Ross. Mark, thank you so much for your time and your thoughts today. You're amazing, man.
My pleasure.
And I want to invite the listener to join us next time when we will give you the final draft news, the final mock draft, and the final bits of NFL news that will inform, or at least we think it will inform, what we're in for next week. The next time we meet, it'll be draft week. I can't wait. Let's remind people that we're on the clock. Raise that level, Coop. Thank you very much. Okay, that's enough of that. Get that out of there. Till we see each other next time, guys. Take care of each other. Take care of you. Take care of your crew. And ciao for now. NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.